Hey, you're tuning in to the Email Design Podcast, where we are your hosts. I am Kevin Mandeville.
And I am Jason Rodriguez.
And we can't wait to dive into all the new things happening in the new year for the email design industry. Jason, what do we have? We got some stats to go over today, don't we?
Yeah, we have lots of stats. We're going to take a look at some email clients. We're going to check out the community contest and talk a little bit about Gmail today. So kind of getting into it, we'll jump right into it then. Some stats for you. Back in December, we did a report with MailChimp, in tandem with MailChimp, and released this great infographic called The Science of Email Clicks, and it's all about the impact of responsive design and inbox testing on clicks and emails. So Kevin, you had a really big hand in this. You actually built this infographic, but we collaborated with MailChimp, used some of their data, worked with them to gain some of these insights. There's some really interesting stuff that we learned. MailChimp gave us some data on, I believe it was 395 million emails sent over a six-month period. And we looked at those and tried to determine whether or not responsive design impacted clicks in emails, and also look at where in emails people were actually clicking. So we found out a few interesting pieces from this study here. One of the most interesting for me was that desktop users click more than mobile and tablet users combined. I don't know if that's a surprise to everybody. It was a little bit surprising to me because I'm such a mobile user and I'm so used to email being on a mobile device. But yeah, desktop users love clicking on emails. They click, they have more total clicks, more unique clicks than both tablet and mobile users. And it's just interesting to see that kind of breakdown. Some other interesting stats here. We found that responsive emails got more unique clicks and more total clicks. Compared to non-responsive emails, which is amazing. I love that. That's one more data point that we can use as designers to really make the case for going responsive with our email designs, which I think is huge. A lot of bosses need that kind of data to really justify to higher ups that responsive is the way to go, and this is a great data point for that. And finally, I thought it was kind of interesting. We took a look at where in the email subscribers are actually clicking. And this is interesting. We found that most people were clicking in the top three or four links in an email. As people scrolled down those emails, clicks generally died off. We found that once people get down to maybe the fifth link in an email, then they get about half as many clicks as the first email link in an email. So I think it's interesting. It kind of shows that you need to put that really valuable information, those big calls to action early on in your email. I won't speak to whether or not that's data for whether or not the fold exists, but I think it's definitely interesting to look at that kind of data. What were some of the insights that you gained from this study, Kevin?
Yeah, I mean, the two big things that really jumped out to me and really give email designers ammo if they're trying to get buy-in for responsive email design, the fact that responsive design results in a 15% increase in unique clicks for mobile users, that's really big. So you're just going to get a 50% jump right off the bat. And also the stat about how the first link in responsive emails have a 30% higher click rate. It was interesting that as soon as there were more and more links, it sort of leveled out with responsive design. But it kind of made sense if you think about it, right? A lot of responsive design is going to be longer, forces a lot more scrolling, whereas with desktop users, if the links, you know, the design is a bit shorter and more condensed, they can click a little bit more freely in a shorter amount of space. But being able to know that, hey, if you have a short, concise message in responsive email, you're going to get a 50% jump in unique clicks, and the first link is going to have a 30% higher click rate than a non-responsive email would. So those are two things that really just jump right off the bat. And then, you know, to get the buy-in to actually test your emails and to get, you know, a budget for testing your emails, et cetera, the fact that we saw massive jumps across all three platforms for those users who tested using Litmus. So a 13% increase for desktop, 24% for tablet, 19% for mobile. Obviously, it's probably a correlation, not a causation thing for those who want to get into it. But the fact of the matter is that if you're testing your email, you're going to get higher click rates because you're definitely going through the motions to ensure that your design is bulletproof and rendering great in all the different email clients. So I think it's great because we haven't really had this visibility in the email design community in terms of like, okay, what are the actual stats behind responsive design, you know, on a macro kind of level, because MailChimp, you know, they have over 7 million users themselves on the platform, and for them to go in and analyze a big chunk of the emails that were getting sent out through these different scenarios, I think is really, really great. And this is a great resource for anybody to point to now when it comes to sort of validating the need for responsive design and testing for email.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think it speaks to the fact that I know Elliot Ross over at Action Rocket kind of made this point in a blog post a while back that a lot of people look at data and they live by data and they make all their design decisions based on data. And you could look at this report and see one of those stats like desktop gets more clicks, more unique clicks, more total clicks than responsive emails or just mobile users or tablet users. But that's not one of those things we need to live by. That might be the case, but those responsive emails still perform better. You still get all those unique clicks. You get more clicks higher up in those responsive emails. So, yeah, it's just interesting to see this data, see how it plays in our designs. And, yeah, it really makes the case for responsive design, for testing with Litmus, and making your emails better.
Absolutely. All right, we're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, we are going to talk about the new Outlook app for iOS and Android, some Litmus community email design contests, and Gmail increasing the font sizes in their iOS email app yet again. But we just want to let you know that you can see all episodes of the podcast at emaildesignpodcast.com. All of our show notes and links are right there. You can follow us on Twitter. You tweet the hashtag #emaildesignpodcast. Jason and I are following the conversation along there. You can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and SoundCloud. Full links at emaildesignpodcast.com. And we also have a free 14-day trial of Litmus for you. If you go to litmus.com/giftcard and use the coupon code podcast, you can get a free 14-day trial of Litmus. Jason, you know how much of a hassle it is to be testing your email, getting broken rendering problems with your HTML emails. But with Litmus, you can just send a test email address or a test email to an email address, get screenshots over 40 different email clients, and see what email clients you need to fix your HTML email in, and just really iterate on the design and get things looking really, really nice. Super simple and easy. So we want all of you email designers out there, you can go to litmus.com/giftcard and use the coupon code podcast for a free 14-day trial of Litmus. Take advantage of it. All right. The big news on the block this week in terms of the email design industry is Outlook actually launched a new app for iOS and Android. So basically the Outlook app for mobile. And so we are now seeing what they did with their acquisition of the Acompli app, and they literally put it into action in what it seems like no time, which sort of makes me believe, Jason, that this was already going on behind the scenes and they sort of waited for the announcement. I'm almost shocked that Microsoft was able to implement this in like less than 2 months from the time they announced it to whatever.
Yeah, I think from past acquisitions, how Microsoft has worked before with the enterprise kind of crowd, I feel like they had that. Their teams working together well before the actual acquisition happened, was finalized, everybody got paid, and it was a product there. So, yeah, I think that you're right. They were working behind the scenes. But, yeah, that turnaround is huge.
Yeah.
And it's an amazing app. It's an interesting app to see out on the market now and see what Microsoft's thinking about when it comes to email.
Yeah. Now, granted, I wasn't really familiar with Acompli before just because it didn't have market share. But it really seems like nothing much really changed. They just sort of put the branding on Outlook and they pretty much kept the same thing. So they didn't really make any changes under the hood too much. I mean, maybe there's some feature stuff that we know about. But the great news is that from a rendering perspective, this app is absolutely awesome on both platforms. So they have amazing support for things, you know, like the Alex Ilhan of Display Block, he had a great support table, actually. He had a great write-up and blog post about this. And he just, you know, the fact that they don't really mess up with the text of paragraphs or block quotes or lists or whatever, they don't really have too many quirks. And they have great support. You can do things with CSS3 like border radius and text shadow, web fonts. They even have support for CSS animations. So there's a great support table on the Display Block blog. And there was also a great write-up or forum discussion over in the Litmus community started by Mark Robbins. Some of the interesting things there were the fact that it's actually displaying the title tag as part of like the pre-header. which is interesting to know. But this is just great news. The fact that Outlook has now come out with an amazing app with great support for HTML and CSS, it really feels like a big win, and it's even further validating the comments I made in a previous podcast, Jason, about Microsoft being the most progressive email company when it comes to email client rendering.
You can absolutely predict the future, Kevin. You are 100% right. Yeah, this is amazing. This is a great app. I've been testing it out here and there. It's definitely not my primary app right now on my iPhone, but I've been using it, loving it. The CSS support is fantastic. Alex, really, the only problems that I noticed from him were that hovers didn't work, but it's a mobile app, so what are you going to do? And then CSS animations generally work. They are a little bit wonky when it comes to text, like spans or A tags. But generally, everything works well. It works great. It's beautiful at rendering emails. And I think that's a huge, huge win for email designers. And hopefully it's one of those things. I could see this app becoming very popular, gaining market share, and seeing that level of support for CSS. It's one of those things that will hopefully push companies like Gmail to improve their rendering. If their competition's releasing apps like this and everybody's happy with them, we're all happy with them, hopefully they'll do the same thing and they'll up the support levels in their own apps.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I actually haven't even downloaded it yet and played with it too much, but if it works really well and it's a great rendering, I might use that, because I actually don't really like Apple Mail from a email organization type thing. I think like the Gmail apps definitely beat out like Apple Mail on that. But if Outlook sort of has more of the Gmail support type of thing for organization of your emails, like, I'll just switch to that and support the rendering. So yeah, that's a great point. The fact that now that we have Apple and sort of Outlook getting into the game of a great rendering email app, and we've already seen the convergence between Google, Apple, and Microsoft as sort of the three key players in the email space, this is absolutely fantastic for them to start to sort of boost their market share for an email app and to have an app that has great rendering. I mean, this could be a really big game changer for 2015 in email design, I think. I think it could be definitely, I feel like it's been almost underplayed too much so far.
Yeah, I think it has the potential to be huge. So we'll keep an eye on it, see how it grows, see if they release any interesting updates, and keep you guys updated.
Yeah, we'll be keeping tabs at emailclientmarketshare.com and letting you know every single month what happens with, you know, the market share and how much the new Outlook app is going to account for open. So hopefully we see that grow.
Yep. All right, moving on. Back in January, we hosted our first community contest in the Litmus community. This is something we're going to be doing every month. We're going to invite community members to take on a challenge, a coding challenge, an email design challenge, and show off what they can accomplish. So for the first one, we ended up on the theme of creative use of alt text in an email. So if you know Litmus, if you've been reading our blog, if you've been following along on the podcast, anything we do, we're huge proponents of using alt text, alternative text for your images, because there's a lot of instances where images are disabled in an email. And providing that alt text provides a little bit more context for your email. Subscribers can understand what's going on there. But most people stop when it comes to alt text with just providing some contextual text along with your image. And then some people style it a little bit. They might use colors, font types, whatever to style it a little bit. But most people stop there. So we wanted to challenge people to see what they could come up with and show off their most creative uses of alt text. And while we didn't have a ton of entries for this first one, the people that did enter blew our minds. There were some amazing alt text examples. Mark Robbins was the first post. He had an example that had this animated alt text that would slide in from the left. It was amazing. Just using CSS animations, it was cool stuff to see. The two winners, we crowned two winners. We couldn't pick just one. One was Michael Muscat, who did this Space Invaders theme that has this great, it uses this these text blocks, like the little HTML character enemies, but the ASCII blocks of text to basically fake pixel art animated version of Space Invaders when a video is disabled in an email. So it was an amazing example of a creative use of text and CSS animation in the emails. The second winner was Remy, who used some really, really crazy stuff. He used something called the Shadow DOM, which is a highly experimental feature of browsers. Most browsers don't even implement the Shadow DOM, but it essentially gives you access to, it's a deeper level of access to HTML elements, so you can do more with those elements. And using that, he created this great dynamic alt text. I can pop up with this GIF here. You guys can see it. This GIF that has his animated text. You can see it sliding in and out. All three lines slide in and out. And he even has an emoji in his alt text. So it was this amazing use of a really weird out there experimental feature of a browser as applied to email and alt text. Granted, it doesn't work very many places right now, but it was cool to see people playing around with that stuff. I know, Kevin, you had your own entry with dynamic alt text, too. I don't know if you want to talk about yours a little bit or some of these other winners, but it was very, very cool to see.
Yeah, no, the contest was awesome. I mean, the whole goal with what you and I want to sort of do with these contests is just to sort of push the envelope and get people thinking about it. We have an amazing community of email designers who are constantly doing really crazy, cool, innovative things, and we kind of want to create these contests to sort of just make an excuse to focus in on like a particular hack or method or something, and all just sort of spitball and rebound off each other, you know what I mean? And so, yeah, we were blown away. There was only a few entries for this first one, but the Space Invaders one was awesome, obviously, with the pixel art and the animation. I mean, it was just so, so cool. Like, from an execution standpoint, in terms of, like, strategy and a theme, like, that one was amazing. And then Remy's is just, you know, so dope. It's so hacky and experimental that it definitely, you know, piqued all of our interest. The emoji use, too, was amazing. So I don't even fully comprehend everything Remy did yet. I still need to take time to break it down more, because I was
picking through it a little bit, and it's surprising. There's not, like, too much going on, but it's such an experimental thing that most designers aren't really familiar with that, the concept of a Shadow DOM and having that deeper level access to these elements. So it was amazing to see somebody actually use that and put it to work, especially in the context of email design.
Yeah, and Mark's animated alt text was really simple, really cool. I tried to come up with a dynamic alt text example where basically for the case of like Gmail, where images may be off by default on mobile, how sometimes if you're using too much alt text on desktop, the alt text won't display on mobile because when you go to mobile, the alt text is too long, and then all you just see is like an empty image. So I tried to come up with a way to sort of create dynamic. It was basically serving the same image, but you know, using different targeting, you could actually have the same image twice, but with different alt text. So I was playing around with it. I was kind of bummed out. There wasn't a lot you could do with like the content property based on support for dynamic alt text, which is what I initially was trying to do. But yeah, it's amazing. And we really just want people to get involved and just really, you know, come up with innovative use cases for every single contest that we do. Like you said, we're doing them every single month, and every single month we're going to have an awesome prize. So we gave away a free month of Litmus, an entire month of Litmus, to the winners for this. And we crowned two because we couldn't pick, honestly. And a swag pack. And we got some really awesome, cool prizes in the store for the future as well. So yeah, if you're an email designer listening or even a web designer, like, we highly encourage you to get involved in this stuff because it's really only going to help the whole community. Like, obviously, I looked at a lot of the stuff that other people did here that I can take away and then go work on my own email designs as well, you know? So it's a really great community thing to do.
Yeah, absolutely. And definitely we're going to be doing that every month. The next one coming up for this month will involve navigation elements in email. We're still finalizing what we want to do specifically about it, but get your hats on, start thinking about navigation in email and what you can do with it. And we are actually pairing up with Code School, one of our favorite companies, Code School, and we're going to be offering some free Code School, free Litmus, and a little bit of swag from both of us. So definitely tune in to the community. We'll announce that later this week and get you guys going with some navigation contests.
Yeah, so check out litmus.com/community and sign up if you haven't signed up, because it's awesome. All the cool kids are doing it now. So another big thing to talk about and point out, in case anybody hasn't noticed, we talked about this in a previous episode in terms of Gmail is actually increasing the font sizes again in their iOS app. It was something that we noticed was kind of sort of a test run that they were doing the first time around, and then it got shut off. I remember when we were talking about this last, Jason, we were like talking about it, and we were like, well, we don't know if it's still on anymore because it's kind of been intermittent.
Nobody knows.
But
yeah.
Yeah, but this is back on now. So now you'll see, if you're using the Gmail iOS app, basically an opt-in experience to view the like mobile-friendly version of the email, and then it will basically bump up the font sizes. And the reason it's important to know is because if it bumps up the font sizes, it kind of does it arbitrarily. I don't know what the exact like methodology Gmail uses. I don't know if we know that yet, but it can break your design, essentially, and that's why you need to care about it, because especially if you're using a desktop version of your email for the Gmail app, like if you aren't using hybrid coding or anything, like, and you know, this will definitely break your email. So you definitely just want to make sure that you're setting all your font sizes and line heights. I know Fresh Inbox, they came up with a big hack to essentially force the original width of the email design. But yeah, you just want to make sure you double down on setting your font sizes, line heights, setting them to important, using any like spacer GIFs or whatever else you need to do to force the full width of the email, because this is now just sort of creating another variable in your email design that you didn't have to account for before, and Gmail's doing it. So it's just something you need to be aware about.
Yep. And hopefully this is one of those things that proves that they're testing things out a little bit, trying to make it a little bit better experience for their mobile users. But ideally that would take the form of better CSS support and not stripping media queries and allowing us to use responsive design elements in Gmail. That's not the case. Big text sizes. It's opt-in. You can turn it off if you want. But yeah, just keep an eye on everything and test.
Someday, man, responsive email in Gmail.
One of these days.
Someday. All right, well, that's going to do it for this episode of the Email Design Podcast. Just remember, you can visit the website emaildesignpodcast.com to view all the archives, every single episode of the podcast, full show notes and links to everything we discuss. It's right there. Make sure you tweet along with the hashtag Email Design Podcast, and you can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and SoundCloud, so look us up there. And if you go to litmus.com/gift card, you can input the coupon code podcast for a free 14-day trial of Litmus, and make sure you never send a broken email ever again. All right, that's going to do it for this time. We'll see you next time on the Email Design Podcast, reminding you to keep your table cells aligned and your styles in line.